This episode of That Story Show is brought to you in part by Bluehost Hosting. This month, they have special pricing, just $349 a month. That's a 40% discount from their standard rates. This special ends January 31st, so get it while the getting's good. Visit thatstoryshow.com/Bluehost to sign up.
This is Marilyn, and you're listening to That Story Show.
Hey, how you doing? This is That Story Show, the show that shares funny life stories from all over the world. This is episode 239, brought to you the week of January 20th, 2015. I am your host. My name is James Kennison. With me, a special guest today, is my wife, John Steinklobber. I'm just kidding.
I'm not. I'm not John.
That's what the notes said. It said John. So
I'm much prettier than John.
This is my wife, Jennifer, and she is a lot prettier than John. Though she does have a much fuller beard than he does.
Oh, my gosh.
So she has been kind enough to help us out. John has busyness in his life, and he asked if we could postpone the recording. And I said, absolutely not. We have to do it tonight. And I've been asking you, how long have I been asking you to join me?
How long have you been doing the show?
Forever.
That's about how long you've been asking.
Yeah, every single week I ask her, hey, do you want to be on the show?
And I say no. And I said yes the one time when I'm the only host. Every other time there's been other hosts.
So John can take that personally, I'm assuming.
How so?
That it's him.
Mm.
It's him that's the problem. You don't want to be on the show with him.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Even though I said no before he was on it. But that's okay.
Oh, that's true. I've been asking for a long time. Hey, we got to do something fun last week. We went to PDQ, you know, People Dedicated to Quality, a wonderful name for a restaurant. They serve chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But we met up with some folks. I used to call them the Nies family because it's spelled N-I-E-S, but apparently it's pronounced Nice. So we got a meet up with the Nice family.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there and we sat on it. We were there before they were. And we didn't have a clue who we were waiting on, you know?
No, not a bit.
You get nervous. You get real nervous, especially about you homeschool people, because you never know. You never know about homeschool folks. You could get folks that worship deer antlers.
Or you could be the Duggars, and there could be like 25 people
that
show up.
25 folks that are like, hey, podcast guy, buy us some chicken.
And buy some meal.
I like that chicken. But anyway, it turned out to be awesome. It was homeschool kids and their parents and their grandparents. But they had, the first thing that I noticed about them is they had Harry Potter wands.
They did, and they were neat.
They brought them in special from the car. And I am absolutely 100% opposed. As liberal as I am opposed to morally to those Harry Potter wands. Harry Potter fan. But I'm opposed. You know why?
Why?
Because they're $40 each.
Actually, they're $80.
No way.
I am almost positive they said $80.
No, he spent $80 on two of them. They are $40 each.
Okay.
I remember.
All right.
But that is why I'm morally opposed to them.
Oh, my gosh.
If they actually did magic,
they would be worth far more than $80.
Absolutely. It's a steal at $40. Jen's still going to $80. But, you know, you don't need two. If one of them works, you know, you could do some cool stuff. Let me ask you, just right off the cuff, if you had a working wand,
mm-hmm.
what would you primarily use? What task would you use it to simplify or do for you?
Housework.
Okay. Anything in particular?
Cleaning the floor, dusting.
Oh, those
bathrooms.
Yeah, you said enough. Mine would just be dishes. I would do the bibbidi bobbidi boo thing. And the stuff would start marching, mm-hmm. and people would start throwing buckets around, and the dishes would dance, and then I would get all the credit.
I would also use it to ward off evil, just in case.
That's important.
Someone.
How was that done exactly?
I don't know. You'd have to read the Harry Potter books.
Swish and flick.
Yeah.
Swish and flick. Leviosa. I don't know.
I'd also do tricks with the dog. That would be cool.
What would the dog be forced into? Well, suits and ties?
He would definitely fly at least once.
Freaking flying shih tzu.
Wow, you just cussed.
That's why we got him, so I could cuss legally every time I talk about him.
I feel bad every time I tell people what kind of dog he is.
Well, anyway, the point is, we started off with the nice family. They were the niece family. They were very nice, and it was very good. We sat there for the better part of 2 hours and just hung out and talked to their kids and the grandparents and the parents, and they were very cool.
It was fun. It was really fun.
A lot of fun. So we're always glad to be able to meet up with our listeners. So it's time for something I like to call a backstory. Backstory is, in case you don't know, Jen, it's where we share a story from the past 7 days or so.
Oh, okay.
And since yours takes place further behind mine, I think you should go first. I don't know what it is, but it happens and it may have ramifications on mine.
It could.
So mine could spoil yours and yours could spoil mine. But if something needs to be spoiled, I'm willing to lay down and die for your backstory. It's kind of extreme, but that's what I'm willing to do.
Okay.
Die.
It's not really that good of a story for you to die for, but, and I'm definitely not a good storyteller, but, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was 2 days ago.
Yeah. MLK Day. Yeah.
MLK. So I go out to my car. And I'm going to drive it like I do. Mm-hmm. And there's something underneath it, something that's white and fluffy looking. And I'm very suspicious because we have all kinds of stuff. We got
critters, yeah.
We got raccoons. We have birds. And I was pretty sure it wasn't a bird because it had fur. But so anyway, I look under and I declare that it is a cat. And so then I try to look at it.
Well,
and
you came in the house, too.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that.
Oh.
See, this is a big story. So I'm looking at it. I keep looking under. But it's laying weird. I mean, it's little. And I'm like, I swear that's a bunny. I'm like, no, it's a cat. It's definitely a cat. Because when is there ever a bunny under your car ever in life? So
That's almost magical.
So I walk over to it. I kind of get close to it thinking maybe the dumb cat will move. But then it's like just still there. And I'm like, what do you do when there's a cat under your car and you need to go somewhere? So I went back in the house. And I asked you that question because I didn't know what to do. And plus, I was afraid of the cat because what if the cat was actually a raccoon?
Yeah.
And then...
What if it was a transformer of some kind?
That would be real.
Form of raccoon! So
you said start the car.
Yeah.
So
that's what you do. Hey, she comes in the door. She says, I got a cat under my car. How do you get rid of it? I said, start the car.
So...
And then I started worrying as you were leaving. I was waiting. I was like, because I've heard stories of cats getting up underneath and sleeping somewhere. And then, but anyway.
Oh. So, anyway, so I went out and the cat had moved. It had been towards my, the passenger side. And when I went back around, it was still under there, but it was kind of closer to my side. Well, then I start the car and a stinking bunny goes bounding out from underneath my car. So it was a bunny sleeping under my car.
Wow.
Which I came back in to tell you that there was a bunny under my car.
That's got to be,
it's a great story.
We're not the people that follow, lucky stuff. Like I know from childhood that a black cat crossing your path or breaking a mirror is supposed to be 300 years bad luck or whatever. But if a bunny is under your car...
and you don't hit it.
Well, it's just if it's there, it's like finding a four-leaf clover. It's like your car should just be immediately paid off, which it is. But
yeah, so that kind of works. But my car should somehow be cooler,
blessed with some lucky charms or something. I don't know. Maybe those old golden crowns from the early 90s could come, appear in heaven. So, mine has nothing to do with your stupid bunny story.
It was not stupid. It was awesome. There was a bunny.
It was the greatest story ever, actually. You win a trophy, a bunny trophy.
Thanks.
Anyway, I for months now, as many of our listeners who join us live on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, at nlcast.com/live will attest.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, well, there's no shame in my game, but I they will tell you that for the last several months I have been growing a substantial goatee. Jen, will you tell the people about this goatee? Tell them about it. How wonderful it is.
It was really, really bushy and it was getting longer and longer.
You're already referring to it in the past tense because it was a good, I want to say 4 inches long.
It might have been.
From the bottom of my lip. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5, maybe 4.5. I'm pushing it. But every day, every freaking day, without exception, my wife.
That would be me.
Would make some sort of comment, some little snide
it
comment.
It was like a Santa thing.
About
it was so fluffy.
How horrible this thing was and how much she hated it.
It was so long.
She even one time, people, reverted and tried to do some sort of screwed up backwards masking. What do you call it? Reverse psychology yeah. on me. And she's like, you know what? I've changed my mind. Your beard, it just, oh, it makes you look so cute. You look so cute. And my brain was like, what? What? Because she knows I hate that. She knows I hate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you don't like being called cute.
And I'm like, really? I believed her for a half a second. She actually got me. And I figured it out as her grin got bigger and bigger and her little evil eyebrows started bitting pointier and pointier. I realized she was just trying to trick me. And I'm like, oh! So, but anyway, all that to say, the other day I got a wild hair. And I shaved that monkey off. And I shaved it down to a 4.
And it looked really good.
It looked a little bit small, though. I shaved the edges a little
it
bit.
It looked small in comparison.
And it
but
looked,
it looked good. You looked clean cut. You looked awesome.
And it was mostly gray. Mostly yeah, gray.
A lot of gray.
Kids but... hated it, as they should have. I hated it. Jen was happy.
I was happy.
I looked like she says, you look younger. You look younger.
You looked younger and you looked more clean cut. You looked bushy.
Yeah. Like
you looked like either a hipster or a biker. I'm not sure which before.
I wasn't quite there yet to biker or hipster.
You were heading towards one.
I will
two.
Be heading there. But anyway, all this to tell you that today, no. When we got home again, I hated the little goatee so much that I shaved it off. And I'm completely barefaced now for the first time in like 5 years.
And you look weird.
And what do you know? I have a tiny chin. It's so little. It's like a little outward dimple. It's like an outie on my dang chin. I look like some sort of weird caricature.
Why do you have a tiny chin? Because you used to not, I don't think.
I think we're used to seeing the beard, the goatee. And you judge it, you know, it's like 4 inches wide. Now it's 1.5 inches wide. It's a little pointy thing. It looks like a private part. It's terrible.
Doesn't look like a private part. That's weird. It looks like a chin.
It looks like a little weird chin. So anyway, today my daughter, I took her to an orthodontist appointment. Everything was great. And I text my wife and I say, Jen's teeth are fine. Jenna's teeth are fine. She says back, she says, that's great. Or something like that. I said, my teeth are fine, too. Thanks for asking. You know, it's just a little joke. And she goes, well, I didn't ask because your teeth are just fine. You know, a really funny response.
No, I said your teeth don't have braces.
Your teeth don't have
which
braces.
Which is great.
Which
it's
is even better.
Hilarious.
The height of...
Laugh.
I mean, if you're, if you're an accountant, that is funny.
Shut up.
But then she has this little thing and she says... She waits about 20 minutes, and you could just tell. I just knew where she was when she thought of this. She just laughed to herself out loud.
I think I did. And, I would have been alone in my office.
She texted me, how's your chin?
Well, you were being snarky with the whole, my teeth are fine. Like, I care about your dumb teeth.
I'm sorry I had to tell you all that just to...
Well, you're the one who completely shaved bare naked chin.
You just said bare naked chin. After you made fun of me for saying my chin looks like a private part. Speaking of private parts, we're going to do a little segment today. It's a one-time only segment called Lyrics with James, where we're going to look deeply into the lyrics of some of America's most popular songs, namely just one song. And that song is called All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor.
Yes.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, it goes, it's a little something like this.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
All right, I think that's all I can play and still not go to jail. So
good, don't go to jail.
So this is the number one song in America right now, beating out my favorite Taylor Swift, and then Nicki Minaj. It is a song, and I have no problem with the song. I have no problem with the video. I have no problem with anything. I'm just going to pick out five things that I find troubling and jacked up about the lyrics and all about that bass. Okay. Let me read some to you just real quick. She goes, yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size two, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. Okay. She's apparently supposed to do that. If you have a big butt, you're supposed to shake it. Cause I got that boom, boom that the boys chase. Mm-hmm. I've never seen boys chase, any boom, 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 boom. When I was a kid meant poop. You make boom, boom. Anyway, and she says she's got all the right junk in all the right places. I know what that means. Homeschool people.
Ask your parents.
Don't ask your parents. Just forget about it. Don't look it up on iTunes or whatever. She says, I see the magazine working that Photoshop. We know that ain't real. Come on now, make it stop. If you got beauty, beauty, just raise them up. That's your hands, homeschoolers. Because every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. And I love that message, that part of the message. You know, mm-hmm. that people should accept how they are and all that kind of stuff. But here's the trouble right here in the chorus. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your size. She says, boys like a little more booty to hold at night.
And you have issues.
You know, I won't be no stick figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's not what you're into, go ahead and move along. All right. Two sentences in there. My mom told me, don't worry about your size. Here's number one thing. First of all, there was a mother apparently that sat down and told her daughter she was heavy. She says, my mama told me, don't worry about your size. So there had to have been some point either the little girl came up to the mom and said, mom, the people at school say I got a big butt. Well, sit down, honey, and let me just tell you, don't worry about your size. Or what I kind of want to prefer to think is she's in sixth grade, seventh grade, and she's got this giant butt. She always has since newbornism, whatever that is, a disease. And her mom says, you need to hear this from me first. But you got a giant derriere, and that's okay. It's okay. So anyway, that's problem number one, just that whole conversation. Do you think that conversation ever happened? Because she put it in here.
It didn't really.
This was a conversation with her mama.
But I read an interview.
I don't care about the interview. I'm saying the lyrics say, my mama said, she told me, don't worry about your size. Okay. So thing number two. The mom telling her daughter that boys like heavy girls and mm-hmm. that they like holding booty at night. So apparently now, that just troubles me very, very much.
The holding the booty?
No, that the mom would go there.
Yeah.
Not that you can be anything you want to be, even with your giant butt, even though you won't ever be able to sit in a chair properly, even though, you know, you have to turn sideways to go through doors. It's okay because all the boys in the future, because I'm a prognosticator, a teller of secrets of the future, I know that in 2015, it is going to be hecka popular for you to have the badonkadonk and the trunk-a-trunk. So, and I was able to do that just there.
What, badonkadonk?
Yeah.
Trunk-a-trunk?
Trunk-a-trunk. I made that up. So anyway, So boys like holding booty at night. Holding.
Is it true? Because you're a boy.
I will tell you right now, and Jen is a married person. Have you ever woke up and I'm just like, I've just got a lock on there on either one, either side? I don't think any human being does that because I'm just saying that at night, everything that can happen happens, meaning air comes out and different things like that. And during the day, if you're a married couple and something's going on, you can avoid embarrassing things. But when you're asleep, it just doesn't make sense. That's all I'm saying. I just imagine they're sleeping. Maybe they mean something else. All right, so number four. Apparently, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. Apparently, booty now means, because it sounds so weird to say holding booty at night. That just sounds weird. So maybe apparently booty means your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
She wants a little more booty. So now booty means a whole body. That's amazing. That's crazy and dumb. Either that or every boy in the world is different than I am.
That could be.
Different show. But last, I just want to point out to everyone, all the Anaconda fans out there, all about the bass. Just want to point out one thing that me and John would definitely want to drill in your brains. Everybody poops. Okay, so that automatically downgrades every butt, all of their attractiveness potential. And every time I see some sort of pose like the cover of Anaconda, where Nikki's doing her little splits thing squat deal, I just see people trying to go to the bathroom out in the woods. So there you go. There you go. So those were the five things that I picked out of the deal. What were you going to say? You read something about this.
Oh, I read some.
I didn't know you were so invested.
I was very invested. No, I read some interview and she said her mom didn't actually say that because somebody asked her.
No.
And she said it was more like her dad.
Oh! Oh!
I don't know if he said exactly that.
Holy crap, baby. Oh, it's getting awfully weird now. I thought it was weird when the mom and daughter were talking, but... Anyway, did we mention Patreon? If you enjoy this show, and I hope you do, if you find value in what we're doing, support us for just a quarter a show. It's just $1 a month. Become a quarterbacker, dink, 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 at Patreon. When you sign up, we'll even read your name on the show and all that kind of stuff. It'll be awesome. Go to patreon.com/NLcast or thatstoryshow.com/donate for more information. Appreciate it. It'd be awesome. Let's do some featured stories. All right, this one happens to be a middle school drama piece from Arlen Womack called Willingly Accepted Bread. Hello, That Story Show. This is Arlen from Vassar, Kansas. And here's my story that happened the night before I sent this. Last night, my mom was looking through the leftovers trying to find some dinner and found some pumpkin bread that we got from our neighbors on Christmas. What's the date again?
It's January 20th.
Yeah, my mom then offered the bread to my sister. This is like the... who was the kid? The life kid? The life...
Mikey?
Yeah, this is the Mikey of the family. My mom offered the bread to my sister. Hey, she'll eat it. Who once again, for the sake of randomness, we'll call Antelope, since I sent in the zebra slap story last week's episode. And my sister willingly accepted the bread, took a bite, and immediately spit it out. After looking at the piece of discarded bread, I saw mold on the crust of that pumpkin bread. Skip to this morning, and we asked her if the mold was what made her spit it out. And Antelope says that the reason she actually spit it out was she thought it was chocolate and was surprised to taste pumpkin. So she was going to eat that bread.
So stupid.
She was going to eat it. This is middle school. You got to understand. Thanks for reading, James. Arlen Womack, the zebra slap survivor. P.S. This was completely written in one sentence on purpose.
Wow, that is so ironic.
I love it. I just love the sentence. She gave the bread to my sister who once again for the... Oh, no, not that part. My sister willingly accepted the bread. How do you... I don't know. Somebody hands you bread. You just take it.
No, don't give it to me. Take it away.
Yeah.
That would be not willingly accepted.
I guess so.
That doesn't usually happen at meals. People
no.
don't scream unless you're two.
When your parent gives you something to eat...
You just willingly accept it, and anybody gives you food, and you willingly accept it.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be. I think it's assumed is what we're trying to say. You don't have to say. So, yeah, that's why I called it willingly accepted bread, because it's different. It's special. This is from Josh Nolan, and I'm going to call this one Narthex. So in church this week, our pastor announced that we would be having Krispy Kreme donuts in the Narthex next week. And my dad leans over and whispered excitingly, "Krispy Kreme." And I leaned over to him and whispered, "Narthex."
Did it really say that?
Yeah.
Because that's what I would have predicted that it said.
Oh, man. You got to wonder, do the parents even know? Most of the time, though, when I've got kids that listen, their folks listen as well. And I'm always surprised that they continue to let their kids listen. But
it is pretty racy.
It's pretty desperate. You're pretty desperate if this is what's called wholesome, clean humor. Comedy. So this one's from Jessica. It's called Blind Faith. First of all, she says, "I'd like to tell you that I'm happy that NLCast, or that story show, is back. I'd like to share a story about something that happened to me about 3 years ago. I think the statute of limitations is passed, so here it goes. I went to the college cafeteria to meet a friend for lunch. Since I'm blind, I asked a member of the dining hall staff to direct me to my friend's table. I said hi to my friend, but she didn't hear me because she was laughing about something. She stopped laughing and asked me to repeat myself, and I said, 'If you'd shut your big Italian mouth, maybe you'd hear me.' I knew my friend would find this statement to be funny. However, I did not realize that both the campus minister and the priest were sitting at the table. Unfortunately for me, they are both Italian. The campus minister laughed and said, 'I'm trying to think of a way to defend you, but I'm laughing too hard. You're on your own.' The priest said, 'I'm not too mad at you. Priests only hold grudges for about 3 years. Would that that were true.' I am still reminded of this story every time I do something dumb. Let this be a lesson to all of you. Whether you are blind or sighted, make sure you know who's around you before you start to make fun of someone. Thanks for reading, Jessica." The more you know. Whenever there's a real heavy
moral to the story,
we like to throw that in there.
Don't call Italians loud.
Yeah. If you're,
even though they are.
If you're blind, don't do stupid stuff. If you're sighted,
If you're sighted, look at who's at the table before you make a comment.
I want to comment about the word sighted. Sighted sounds like a word people say would make up about folks when they're trying to be sensitive about their condition. Like blind actually sounds like something that needs to be changed. Like in 30 years, we will probably literally call them visually impaired or
non-sighted
or whatever. But sighted sounds like something they made up to try to be nice to us. Like, "I'm so sorry you can see." I don't know. It just sounds weird. Just, I don't know what you'd call us, seeing people.
Maybe it's sighted is best.
Yeah, maybe we should stick it there. We do have a few blind listeners, actually, quite a few. Maybe they could give me a little bit of background on the history of that. But I bet back in the day they probably had some really vulgar term for us that they would all use behind our backs.
Probably not.
And I'm sure some sighted person stood up and started having rallies and walking streets
and being
put in prison. And finally, the blind people finally realized that they couldn't treat us that way anymore. And they came up with this more sensitive word. What do you think?
I doubt it.
Okay. This is from Corn Nerd. It's called the Surprise Unicycle. Hate those,
That's just a burden.
A few months ago, I decided to take my bike for a ride after a long period of bike negligence. It's a problem people have. I have that problem. I rode around the neighborhood a couple of times, just cruising and taking it easy. And after a couple of hours of riding, I decided to head back home. And since he was just circling the block, it wasn't that far. On the way, I weaved in and out of vacant side streets to increase the length of the ride a bit. How clever. As I enter one street, I noticed a speed bump. One thought went through my head. I'm going to ramp off this thing, and it's going to be awesome. So what did I do? I went to work on my bike, pedaling as hard as I could to get top speed and the most out of the jump. When I reached the ramp, not knowing how to properly execute a bike jump, I just jerked up on the handlebars as hard as I could. I went higher up in the air than I expected, but everything seemed okay until the landing. Well, everything's always okay until the landing.
Well, it's not much time, so of course it's okay.
Yeah, you're not up there for very long. You don't have enough time to decide if everything's okay. This is only made up after the story's done. My front tire seemed to disappear, and I flipped over the handlebars as the bike fell forward. After a few seconds of confusion and pain, I turned around to see my bike in the middle of the street and my front tire laying to the right side of the street. I assume that when I jerked up on the handlebars, I pulled the main frame of the bike off the tire. And this was later confirmed when I got home and noticed that nothing but gravity was ever keeping the bike on the front tire in the first place. I am unsure what the whole scene looked like, but I imagine for a split second that I looked like I was riding a surprise unicycle. Safety first, kids. Yeah. It probably looked like a cool trick.
You know? Like, doesn't that always happen anytime you go over a bump and you lift up on the handlebars? Don't you flip over the handlebars?
No.
Like, not lift up on the handlebars, but...
Not all the time.
But most of the time? Like, if you're not the trick people, not the biking gurus.
No, it just doesn't go well. It does, if you go up high, I mean, a little bump, it's not going to do anything. But if you go up a significant ramp, yeah, there's this thing where you're going to land... You know, at that angle where your back tire is higher in the air than your front tire. Cars do the same thing. It's a natural arc. And I didn't know that when I was in high school. And as much as I make fun of middle schoolers, when I was in high school, I had the mentality and maturity of a middle schooler. I just did. And they were going to put in a new concrete sidewalk. They were thinking about using concrete, you know, the sidewalk.
Really?
Yeah, just figured, you know what,
Georgia.
Let's do this one
in concrete. We're tired of this gravel. It moves all the time.
this dirt is not cutting it. So
keep them washing away.
They piled up a big pile of like sandy, crusty
dirt. This is not going to end well, is it?
And it was perfectly ramp shaped. I remember it being at least 4 feet in the air. And so I would go down this new sidewalk and I would get off of it and then, you know, hit that ramp. And I did it. I landed it. I landed it perfectly, like 4 or 5 times. I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed that I was alive and that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So then I made the biggest mistake any person, kid or otherwise, can make when you can do a cool trick. I called my parents out to come and take a look at my magical trick. 'Cause why is that a bad idea? Every child knows when your parents come out, you can never do the trick.
No.
You can never do it. So I hit the ramp.
And you were in high school and you called them out?
Yeah. I was like, hey, come and see.
Wow.
My voice hadn't changed yet. You know, gosh. I was a late bloomer. I hit the ramp and some reason or another, my feet came off the pedals. And things were just going wrong. And I hit first, you know, front tire, then my legs, my seat came off the seat and it went forward and my privacies hit that little bend that the handlebars hold on to. And then it goes down into your bike. There's that little right angle deal. Crunched down on those. And I fell down on the ground, absolutely mortified, embarrassed, and in absolute pain. And my stepdad added another emotion, which was hatred, when he said, good jump. That was great. So that was a lot to handle.
It sounded like a great time.
It was a wonderful time. The only other time I did a ramp wasn't really a ramp, because the opposite of a ramp is a slide.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, in the backyard, I couldn't have been more than 4 or 5, but I was left alone a lot. But I had an egg crate, I had a picnic table, and I had a piece of paneling. You know, the old stripe paneling like they put in trailers back in the day. So I was like, I'm going to make a slide. So I put the linoleum or the, you know, board up against the park bench that we had in the backyard. And then to hold it down like nails and concrete, you know, I put this egg crate on top of it.
That's so effective.
It's metal egg crate. Now they make them out of plastic and they put, you know, milk in it and stuff. But I guess it's a milk crate, not an egg crate. So I put it down on there and I kind of sat on it. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to slide down this monkey. Well, I free fell for about a foot and a half and I hit the wood and it immediately, of course, bends underneath my weight, sends the milk crate up in the air like a fulcrum. That's not a bad word. That's the thing.
And
it fell down on its corner, like the way they display Rubik's cubes. Right on the top of the crown of my head. And I remember running and crying. And I don't remember getting any sympathy.
But I wonder what they thought you were doing and how they could have thought that you got injured that way.
Well, I wasn't being watched.
Oh.
Was the number one thing.
Yeah.
I was being let to my own, you know, my own ends.
Four-year-olds should always be watched.
Four-year-olds should always be around paneling.
Yeah,
it's just a good idea.
And egg crates.
Egg crates, paneling.
Metal.
You know.
With nothing else to do, apparently.
Yeah. No slides. Yeah. You know, nothing like that. Just leave them back there. They'll be
the
fine.
The 80s were a tough decade.
They don't need a slide. They'll make their own slides. Yeah. So that could have been the late 70s right there,
oh,
my
that's
dear.
That's true.
I was born in 73.
You are quite older than me.
By the time the 80s came out, everybody had swing sets. Everybody had swing sets.
We had a swing set.
And it wasn't a swing set if you couldn't swing and the poles came out of the ground.
Mm, ours was concreted in.
Oh, of course, because your dad.
My dad likes concrete.
Oh, concrete. But then by the 90s rolled around, they got those post or those drill-in anchors that totally took the fun out of that kind of thing. So, well, that's our story, and that's our show. And we're sticking to both. So if you want to send in your funny true life stories, audio or text, you can send those things to thatstoryshow@gmail.com or call them in at 209-5-2095-NLCAST. You can visit the contact page on thatstoryshow.com for more information on that and how, you know, to make sure your stuff gets read or played on the show. If you enjoyed the show, I hope you did. I hope you can support the show for just a quarter a month. Like we said, thatstoryshow.com/donate for more information. Jen, I'd like to thank you, first of all, for being on the show today. I think it was a great success.
Good. Thanks.
I think people will be begging for you to come back, and I'm not even joking.
It was a funny story, wasn't it?
Oh, that one.
It was a good one.
Legendary. Well, that's it. The website, thatstoryshow.com. Join the NLCast Network community Facebook group. If you can do all that. If you're on Facebook, just go nlcast.com/group and join. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people that listen to this show, getting together, hanging out, making fun of me. Follow the show on Twitter. If you haven't, twitter.com/thatstoryshow. Or follow me personally at NLCast. Or you can follow Jen.
You can't.
You can't because she doesn't do Twitter. Review the show on iTunes or wherever you found us. thatstoryshow.com/iTunes will get you there fast. Thanks to our backers. Thanks to Rob Gobers for our theme music. Thanks to our spouses for letting us record, specifically the one spouse.
Or recording with you.
Yeah. And thanks to our story contributors and everyone who listens. And remember, if you have a funny life story and nobody's listening, just call That Story Show. That's brand new. You like that?
I'm confused.
What? You mean say it again?
Yes.
Okay. And remember, if you have a funny life story and nobody's listening, just call That Story Show.
Oh, because nobody's listening to what you're saying.
Yeah. See, it's a little play off words here.
It's kind of silly.
Thanks for your honest feedback.
Sorry.
Visit NLCast.com for other great NLCast Network shows.